content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers. Change only happens when we, the people, become part of the solution. That's why more and more patriotic Americans are tuning in to the Power Hour. Now, here's your host, Dave Krieger.
And good morning once again. It's 8 a.m. Central Time, Tuesday, January 24th, 2023. Dave Krieger with you. And of course, I want to say a quick prayer for Victor, who is still sweating bullets with cancer up in a Lubbock hospital in Texas. That God, you just be with him right now and bring him through. However, whatever the outcome is, just be with him right now and calm him and those people. If it's his time, Father, you know that like the hairs on his head and the number of them. And of course, we just lift that situation up in the name of your son, Yeshua, to take good care of him and keep him safe and well and heal him if it's meant to be. We appreciate it so much because he's been a valuable employee of his job up there for the last 15 years. And everybody up in Lubbock is praying for him as well. So we appreciate that. He's been a kind, giving soul for the time that he's been here. And so thank you so much, Father, for his life. And we lift our prayers up to you right now. In the name of your son, Yeshua, amen. And I can get an amen out there from all of you right now. We appreciate that. James McCanney is holding with us. We have him on video, by the way. For those of you who want to watch us live stream, you can see this handsome guy wearing headphones like me. And we talk about all sorts of stuff. He's got a new book out, as a matter of fact, The Real History of Man and Earth, Myths, Magic, and Mayhem. And, of course, I have his whole house water filter unit. The purifier is what it says right on the top of the canister. And, of course, there is a gauge there showing the pressure inside the tank. And then I also have the water sterilizer, which is a UV bulb that's connected. And it takes care of the entire house. And it's something that James McCanney, who is a master's of science in physics and math, he has the James McCanney Science Hour at the Crossroads, which airs worldwide on WWCR shortwave in Nashville. And, of course, he's appeared in History Channel specials and on primetime Russian and Japanese television. I mean, literally, his professor tenure is like a who's who of about every kind of subject matter you can imagine, and also spending another 25 years in the telecommunications industry. And most of you have heard James on the show before. And now he's come up with a new patented JMCC wing generator, a wind energy device that will provide energy for farms and ranches, which I got to ask you, James, after watching all these dead whales come up on the beaches in New York and New Jersey. I know you've seen them. Why are they putting wind farms out in the ocean?
It's incredible. You know, and they simply don't last. One of the big issues is the cable that runs from the unit to shore. They drag in the currents and they wear out very quickly. So it never was a good idea. They never really did environmental impact studies to understand that these massive columns that go down into the, you know, into the land below the water, that they just disrupt everything. And the fishermen say, yeah, it destroyed the fishing. They had to go elsewhere. So they're there now. I don't know. It's going to take some pretty big explosives to take those things down. And that's one of the issues, too, is everybody puts this stuff up, but nowhere in the contracts do they talk about who's going to take them down when they don't work anymore.
And what happens when a hurricane like the size of Sandy comes roaring up the coast and starts wiping out and turning all those wind props into projectiles? I mean, you know, I don't know if these things can withstand hurricane force winds. That's the extreme. And this is one of the reasons why, you know, in all of your travails in science here, you invented and patented the wing generator. Could you describe it a little bit? I mean, you know, folks, if you want to find out about this, you can just go on to his website at jmcanneyscience.com. We're actually going to provide you with a link on the email blast that you're going to be getting, I've already been to the website and seen this thing. It's like one single round object on a pole. How high up does that pole go, and what is that object on the top? That's like a wind turbine, all self-contained in one unit, is it not?
Right, right, exactly. Well, the way this thing started is, by the way, they're about 90 feet. That one in the picture there is about 90 feet off the ground. But the big ones, these will scale up to 1,000 feet in diameter to replace nuclear and coal power plants. And that was my whole goal in designing this thing, to create something that would scale up. As most things, like those three-blade wind turbines, don't scale. The biggest they're going to ever make them is 10 megawatts, and you only get about 20% of that out of that. So, and the other thing was to have it work at low wind speed and high wind speeds. So that was one of my goals. But the way this all started was about 25 years ago. I was, just a second. Excuse me. I'm have to get something to drink here. But the I was asked to do a study for a Northern U.S. power company. It was by an independent company that was into biofuel. And so what I did is I did this end-to-end efficiency study, and I was just amazed at how horrifically inefficient the electrical generation process was. This company had nuclear power plants. They had coal-fired power plants. And so I said, I'm going to at the end of the study, they asked me to examine wind turbines and solar as alternative energy. And it resulted, I actually wrote a book. It's called The Myth of Alternative Energy, where I discussed actually what's going on today, that there's the failure of these. They never were designed right in the first place. Because if you look at it, it's like three sticks sticking out there, and the wind just blows right through them. It's ridiculous. These things don't work. They were never meant to work. They're produced by GE and Siemens, and their big core business is Central Power Company. So the whole idea was to get out there, sell tons of these things, and when people finally figure out they don't work, and by the way, they're all falling over now. That's the big news story. And so people are going, this stuff doesn't work. We got to get back to Central Power Company power. That was the plan all along. So the plan is rolling out. But what I did is I said, I'm going to invent something that works. So I wrote a functional specification saying all of the things that this new design would have to have, and then I went out to design it, and the wing generator is the end result. It's very highly efficient, and it can scale up to extremely large sizes. For example, three of these, we estimate that three of these outside 1,000-foot diameter outside of San Francisco, where it's windy all the time, it's crazy windy, three of them could power the entire city of San Francisco. And if you took two more, you could power all of the vehicles as electric vehicles. So at any rate, that was the whole issue. And then, of course, we have the smaller ones, which are the farm and ranch division up to 250 kilowatts. So this would be for people who have farms, ranches, say somebody has 250 milk cows and they need backup power. That's what would be a good application. And also we're looking at places like in Africa for relief, humanitarian issues, or where hurricanes have come through and they have no power, to roll one of these in and then instantly have power, especially on islands like out in the Caribbean.
That is amazing. And of course, you know, we have, you know, people who are curious, they've got questions. Watchdog, you're on the phone with James McCanny. Go ahead.
What I was curious about was the pods of whales that you guys keep talking about. James, you gotta know, wouldn't that mean, aren't they running from the sonar, from the nuclear subs? Isn't that what those pods of whales are always here at the beach? That's all I wanted to mention.
Okay, well, you know, the thing is we knew, and they've been admitting, that they've been banging on the seabed with sonar, and that's probably what's driving the whales up there. James, what's your take on it?
I've seen a lot of different stories. I'm not an expert in the what's causing the whale issue myself, but you see this every now and then on the beaches where the whales, I think they become disoriented, and then they just swim into the beach and like a herd of them. Literally, I don't know if you call it a gaggle of whales. What's the word? maybe herd of whales, but they just get disoriented and swim up on the beach. And once they're beached, they're big, heavy animals. They can't get, they can't free themselves, and they just die there. You see some places where people are trying to get them back into the ocean, but you know, once they're beached, they're pretty much very short term to when they die.
Well, and the other thing too that we're concerned about too is that the sonar is damaging something internally in the whale, mm-hmm. and that's causing them to expire as well. So all of this stuff, I mean, could have been avoided. Aren't people calling you? This is the one thing, James, that I wonder, if you got a device like what I'm reading about, this thing looks phenomenal. And why aren't communities saying, hey, we need to call this guy. Have you seen this new wing generator he's got out now? I mean, if three of these will provide complete electricity for the Bay Area, what's with these people not getting a hold of you and ordering them?
Well, it's controlled opposition. And for example, on YouTube, I was one of the very first people to be shadow banned. And this has been going on since the beginning of YouTube. So people, when they go search for wind turbines, what do they come up with? Wikipedia and three-blade wind turbines. And so unless I'm on a show like this or people catch it some other way, they don't understand what's going on. But it's coming. It's coming the day when we will see these, and it's got to break through, because here's what's going on. The power companies are failing in spite of the fact that GE wants to move the industry back to nuclear and coal, and natural gas is their big power source now, which is a good power source. I'm not complaining. In fact, the wing generator works very well with natural gas, where it would provide 90%, 95% of the energy would come from wind, and you would stabilize that with a natural gas generator. So we would cut our fuel consumption by 20%, by 20 times. And so anyway, these days are coming. The thing I'm moving into now, by the way, is hydrogen. In the whole world, if you look at I knew this all along. And so quite a while ago, I started moving into interfacing the wing generator with hydrogen production. And it's coming along. All I can say is it's like a freight train. It'll be here. And so we can make the wing generator and tailor it to, say, islands. There are 18,000 inhabited islands in the world, if you can imagine that. They all burn number two fuel oil for electricity, and they all got tremendous wind. And so the other thing they lack a lot of times is water. So I've combined the company's products, kind of a marriage of the companies, to produce reverse osmosis water. Very stable source of water, because most of these islands have brackish water, if it's well water or no water at all, or just catchment, like an island like St. Thomas or in the Virgin Islands, or, you know, like I say, 18,000 islands. And so if they have plenty of rain, like in the South Pacific during a season, then we can use catchment. And then during the off season, when it's dry, use reverse osmosis. So we're combining all these technologies and using hydrogen as a mechanism of storage and trying to move the transportation industry over to hydrogen.
Well, now, see, that would be, and we've had callers on the show that have talked about that, James. And if we went to hydrogen, I mean, literally, I mean, right now, this climate change thing has just got, you know, the Davos bunch and half the world preoccupied. And there's, you know, so many Greta Thunbergs to go around, but I'm not impressed with it. In fact, all the technology that they're talking about right now with Tesla and everything else, I mean, you've got cars, literally the accelerator is failing and it's running into ferry docks and splitting the cars in half and batteries catching fire. And I mean, then they want to just totally take us off the grid and take away oil and take away everything we're using now. I'm telling people, look, we are at least three decades behind in where we need to be, and people still ignore all the work that you've done. And you even got an award in 2018 for the XPRIZE Technology Innovation Achievement. This is for your work in renewable energy, and yet nobody's paying attention. It's they don't want to, and we're living in an age of corporatism that literally looks like it's screwing the pooch, and all they're doing is just robbing we the people of all of this technology out there that I mean, are you working on something now that we can actually incorporate hydrogen into our cars?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's hydrogen is here right now. It's just a matter of, and I'm working with some people, it's going to be here in a very shortly, let's say. Here's the issue with hydrogen. And we have to get it down to, these are some real numbers in the real world of hydrogen. They can produce hydrogen from methane or from natural gas or from coal, and they can do it for about $2 a kilogram. So that's kind of the target goal. And everybody says, oh, we'll never do it with what we call green hydrogen, which is electrolysis, which is using voltage to split water into hydrogen and oxygen. But I can do that. Once I get these scaled to the large enough size, we can produce hydrogen today. But it's not cost effective. You know, it's like $10 a kilogram. And so, but the companies, the OEM companies that are doing research, don't mind paying $10 a kilogram to have it green. Green is where it comes from, wind or solar. But solar will never work. Like I say, in 2010, I wrote a book. It was called The Myth of Alternative Energy, and I went on radio shows predicting everything that's happening today, everything you see. You know, the global climate change is being used as a political football. It's being used to control energy, food, and water and everything else, and you're breathing and passing gas or whatever. It's a mechanism for control. And so so that's the other thing I'm fighting, is they don't want solutions. They do not want solutions, especially from some guy like me. They want it from some corporation like GE, but GE isn't going to do it because they would cut the throat of their main core business, which is central company power. GE, for example, they have maybe 50,000 three-blade wind turbines out in the field. They have twice that, 50,000 three-blade wind turbines out in the field. They have twice that in natural gas power generators and central power companies around the world. Gee, what's their core business? What do they really want to do? So now you see these three-blade wind turbines literally falling all over the place, falling to the ground, and GE doesn't have an answer. And then you see all these articles, this is controlled news media at its best, saying, oh, these don't work. We got to get back to that good old GE power, central power company. That's what's going on. And I predicted this 10 years ago or 12, 15 years ago.
So, but James, you've studied the grid. You know about the United States grid. You know how vulnerable we are to, I mean, how many, what have we had, 200 attacks just in the last couple of years where vandals and or cyber, one way or another. I mean, you've studied the nation's power grid. I know you've probably read Ted Koppel's book, Lights Out. I have. Mm. I have a copy of all this stuff. In fact, I'm a rep for EMP Shield. And, you know, it only takes one hypersonic missile to throw us into the dark ages, you know, detonated over Kansas. So I got to ask, you know, you've thought about this stuff far enough in advance to know how to get us into a situation where we could withstand something like that and survive.
I've been on panels that get up to the presidential level on EMP and hardening the grid. And when people want to know what to do, they come to me, actually. This is going on behind the scenes. But, you know, it gets up to a certain level, and it always gets stalled.
Yeah.
You know, every president goes, well, we got to harden the grid. They really don't know anything about it. And then there's this big push to go to what they call the intelligent grid. Well, that's having computers monitor things. But let me tell you, in an EMP situation, when that EMP wave is coming at the speed of light, your computer, by the time it figures out there was an EMP, that it's the EMP is already racing at the speed of light to the next place. So the way you have to cure this is with passive devices, and it's very easy. I've laid this out. It's very inexpensive. We could do it to the national grid overnight, and nobody is doing it. It's like they want it to fail. They want to tell you it can fail, and then they want it to fail. But here's the situation. I'll tell you on the air. They're called inductors or shunts, and you use these in electronics all the time for this exact purpose.
Right.
In fact, your EMP shield is, I'm sure,
shunts,
working on this.
shunts voltage to the ground.
Yeah, because the EMP is your line voltage is running at whatever frequency it's at. It's a set voltage or a set frequency, I'm sorry. And so what happens, the EMP is a totally different frequency, and it's a much higher frequency. So what you do is you create the shunts so that they're blocking, they're non-conducting at the frequencies that are normally, the line frequencies are normally operating at. And then you make them a short circuit for the higher frequencies. That's all it is. It's a wire that is in a spiral. That's all it is to harden our grid. It's so simple. It's so cheap. And nobody will do it. Why?
You know, well, the electric companies, for starters, I'm hearing these excuses all over the place, James. Electric companies don't want to invest the money. Nobody's incentivizing them to do anything. As long as they're making money every month supplying energy, and I cannot believe the amount of energy just in my own neighborhood that is generated by the power company, and two-thirds of that is going to waste.
Yeah,
it just goes away, and nobody's getting that. And they're in the UK, they're actually paying people between 5 and 6 p.m. to cut their electric consumption. They're throwing money at them to try to save their power grid. And nobody's asking questions. I mean, this is the thing. But the government, on the other hand, they have their underground bunkers. They have their Faraday cages. They have their all little generators and all this science stuff. You're probably aware of that as well, aren't you?
Oh, absolutely. For a long time, yeah, that they have designed their caves, et cetera. But the thing with the power companies is that I don't understand their motivation, but this is so inexpensive. Literally, of all the money, compared to buying transformers, for example, down the street from you is a transformer. You know that they don't have any transformers in stock to replace those. None. And we have them up to the big ones at the central power station, and they don't have any place to get them.
Well, then you try to move them underneath a bridge. I mean, they're so big, you can't transport them on the back of a flatbed truck without them getting stuck.
Yeah. No, but protecting this is very easy, like I say. And so why are people not doing this? Why am I on a presidential panel? And it gets up to a certain level with other people who are knowledgeable. They're physicists. They're good. They understand this. We talk on the phone. It gets up to a certain level, and it just dies.
Wow.
So I don't know. In fact, there's other things like the volcano at Yellowstone. I've attempted to approach the U.S. Geological Service or other state, like the state local entities out in Wyoming, etc., and tell them that what we have to do is drain the lake, because the three points in history where that volcano went off was because of the water in the lake. And once it erupts and breaks, that water goes down and it turns to steam, that whole lake turning into steam, and it blows the top off. And it covers, 20 state area. And this has happened, hundred million years ago. And you can still see the remains of that all over the central United States, out to Iowa, Minnesota, down through Missouri. I mean, this thing blows. And it's that lake is there. And it would be an afternoon job to drain it. So taking, NASA wants to pump water into it. What a bunch of idiots.
That would be exacerbating the problem, right?
That would cause the volcano to explode.
Oh, you know? No.
Yeah, no, serious. But in fact, I've worked out the entire plan, how you could siphon that lake and drain it out, because it's a complex topography under the water. But you could siphon that out, and the water is poisonous, so you'd have to get rid of it. It could go down into that Scabland region of Oregon, which is a natural flow, no problem. And you could do it in a short amount of time. And then if there were an eruption, which is imminent, it's happening there, it would just be a local event. It would just be a lava flow locally instead of destroying half the United States.
Right. Sherry in Kansas, you're on the phone with Professor James McKinney. Go ahead.
Hi, Jim.
Hello.
Hi, Dave. Vicki Davis, who is Darren Week's co-host, and she's a very good researcher. In fact, Dave, you should get her on and talk to her. She says that what she found out, because she fought her smart meter, and they were able to put it on her house against her will. She said that with all these smart meter things, the power companies have been guaranteed their profits. And so they have no incentive to do any of this stuff, and maybe even what you're talking about, to protect the grid. And she said they're actually investing their money in other things rather than improving the infrastructure. So that's all I wanted to throw in.
Well, we appreciate that. Thanks for that. Well, what's overview on that comment, James?
Oh, exactly. Yeah, when they deregulated the energy industry, just like they did with telecommunications, the companies became private. So you have, for example, Xcel, or you have the California companies, or then you had all these other companies, a lot of real corruption in them, but they are run for profit. And you have the public utility commissions, which used to oversee the utilities and set their rates. Well, now the PUCs are just like they're still there and they're pretend agency, but they don't do anything. The other thing with the power companies is they've invested in nuclear, which is a disaster financially. The Xcel Energy in Minnesota went to the legislature in Minnesota, asked for $2 billion because they have two power plants, nuclear, that they wanted to keep operating. And the Minnesota state said, no, we don't have $2 billion to give you. The power companies have not been saving the money required by law to decommission these plants. So they keep extending their lifetimes. They're burning high-octane nuclear fuel that they were never designed to burn. That fuel now needs cooling, and they're storing it at the plant. I mean, this is a disaster. And now they're saying the nuclear power is green because it doesn't emit CO2. Oh, my goodness. I mean, all you can do is slap yourself in the forehead.
But that's all misrepresentation.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, but there, all of these power companies are on the brink of financial disaster.
Are we at risk of another Chernobyl with these plants?
Oh, yeah, all of them.
Wow.
There was a flood, and it was in, not Missouri, it was in the river that comes out of the Dakotas, and it comes, the Missouri River, I think. But there was a nuclear power plant there. We'll talk after the break.
Okay.
That they had to shut down when the flood came. They were in danger of all of those fuel rods going up in smoke.
Whoa. All right. And see, that's another Chernobyl, folks. We're going to be back with Professor James McCanny after the break here in the Power Hour. Dave Krieger with you. Stay with us.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle Dew products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle Dew skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle Dew moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle Dew products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs, and my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Just recently, we both started on the lithium balance. I want to keep my memory. My two in-laws are dealing with, the Alzheimer's. They're in their 90s, and I see it. I don't want to be like that, and I've heard you talk about lithium to, you know, improve our memory and keep us up there.
Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
And we are back live Central Time. It's 8:32 in the a.m. Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour, Tuesday, January 24th, 2023. And we've got, of course, Professor James McCanney still on the line with us here. You can watch us on Skype as well. We're on Rumble and Brighteon, Brighteon and Rumble. We will be on there. We're going to upload that program there so you can watch us engage in conversation about the subject matter. Two things that bother me about this before we get into your book that you just wrote. One, we were talking about power plants beforehand and why they don't go to the little guy who's got the answer. Because GE and all of these wind turbines and stuff are coming from China and Italy and various other places, and they're trying to keep the flow of trade going, and they don't want to bring everything back into America as far as manufacturing goes. The other thing that's bothering me is when one of these things that we were just talking about, this nuclear plant you were talking about that had to be shut down because of the flood, if you live within 300 miles of one of these nuclear power plants and you're anywhere near where the jet stream could carry the radiation and the fallout from this, you're in trouble. Is that a fair statement?
Well, yeah, but not only that, here's the issue, and this happened with Fukushima, is that there was the initial wind pattern, which was kind of like a cone going out, and then there was the damage where the thing melted down. You had the China syndrome in the water. They poured a lot of water on it, and that just went into the ocean and polluted the ocean. But in the air, now they had 600,000 spent fuel rods on the roof being cooled at Fukushima. That all went up in smoke. But here's what happens with anything, anything aerosol like that. It gets up into the higher, like the stratosphere, and it gets up in the jet streams, and pretty soon it covers the whole globe. And so there are people, nuclear physicists, that's my advanced physics degree is nuclear solid state physics. But there are physicists who said even one nuclear disaster, one explosion, or a nuclear bomb would basically cover the entire Earth within, for example, take that, I forget the name, that South Pacific in Tonga, there was a massive volcano about a year ago. And it went up into literally into the stratosphere. Some of it went so high it went into space. It was a big steam cloud. And that literally covered the entire planet within 2 weeks. That's how fast it distributes. And so, yeah, if you're nearby, it's really a disaster like Chernobyl. But eventually it's going to be everywhere.
And that's one of the reasons why I'm holding up a bottle of Nuke Protect, and this is one of the reasons why we sell so much of it at the Power Mall. Folks, you got to get some of this stuff because what James is saying is and can, it's just a matter of time, isn't it, James?
Yeah, the U.S. has 104 nuclear power plants. They're all aging. We haven't built a power plant in 20 years, and that's the lifetime of a nuclear power plant. These have all been extended. Their commissions have been extended really, I would say, illegally, immorally. And Biscayne Bay, for example, has a terrific radiation problem in Florida. You know, so these things are starting to leak. The underground pipes are leaking. They don't know. They can't. There's no way to check them. They were never built for ease of maintenance, especially in the long term. And like I say, they're burning this high octane fuel that comes from converting nuclear warheads into fuel. And these were never meant to be burned like this. The old fuel would have been, you could start without cooling it. The new fuel, you have to cool it. So the more you burn, the more you have to cool. The more energy you have to expend to cool it. It's a disaster. This is, and the nuclear industry, whether it's for the nuclear warheads or whether it's nuclear power or for the military powering ships, is one of the most corrupt, dirty industries on the planet.
And they're getting away with this. And nobody's paying any attention until it's too late and the whole grid goes down or we get cyber attacked or any other number of things that could happen. And we're already, you know, fighting a proxy war and looking at another potential war in the Straits of Taiwan that we can't win, according to the latest news reports. Our military is being decimated. But the thing is at home, the late Peter Vincent Pry, the doctor that was running the commission there in 2018 that President Trump formed to study electromagnetic pulse and what we could do about it, said that if this grid goes down, 9 out of 10 people will be dead in a year, yet you have the means to basically save humanity with this wing generator, and nobody wants to pay attention. This just boggles the mind, James.
Yeah, and this is not new, mind you. You talked about the X Prize. That was 2018, and that's when the prize was given. A year and a half prior to that, I was working on this, and the wing generator was around since 2010. I had worked on it previous to then. I have a book that's published. It's called McCanny Wing Generator World Energy Project. It was published in around a little before 2010. And so, I mean, that in there I have the addendum, which is the myth of alternative energy, where I talk about everything that's going on today with solar panels, with three-blade wind turbines, that they don't work, they never will work. They never will solve the world energy problem. And I came along with a device that would. The initial engineering studies that we did showed that you can build these to 1,000 feet in diameter. And, you know, and they will literally replace nuclear and coal-fired power plants with a single unit.
Now, the thing is that how much wind does it take to spin one of these?
Well, that's the thing, is they're over-designed. In other words, they have a wide wind spectrum. They can go from low wind up to very high wind because they adjust. So they're constantly putting out the same amount of power. So they're an intelligent device.
Interesting. See, and this is the thing about our current energy situation. There's one community in York, South Carolina that is convinced it's prepared for EMP and they've got self-sufficiency. what do you know about York, South Carolina? Anything at all before we move on to the discussion of the book?
Not really. No, I don't. But being prepared, there's one way of being prepared is just living completely off the grid. The other way of preparing is to protect the grid, because what happens with an EMP is it changes the ground. We depend on ground being stable voltage, and that's what we compare all of our reference voltages to ground. So when the EMP comes through, it changes the voltage in the ground by thousands of volts, and it destroys everything. So what you do is you simply isolate all of the circuit elements with, like I say, inductors, with shunts. It's, you know, and then you isolate the wave, and you ground out, you just short out everything, and temporarily, and by the way, that's one of the other issues with nuclear power, is you can't just run in with a fire hose and shut those down all of a sudden.
No, and no, so you can't.
As far as EMP mitigation, nuclear power plants are a disaster.
No doubt. Anybody living near them is in trouble. Charles in Ohio, I know you're going to be talking about hydrogen power and all the other good stuff you usually talk about on the show now that Jim McCanny's on here with us. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Good morning, gentlemen. I hope you're well. I wondered if, a couple things, but accident like Fukushima, have you ever looked at, along with the tritium, the deuterium, along with addressing the incident with thyroid, with iodine immediately to prevent painted iodine. There's also secondary effects from nuclear radiation. I'm looking more at tritium and deuterium, and I'm thinking that they drastically shorten human life over the term. And have you looked at the depleted deuterium water? And I wondered if you looked at the work of Dr. Stanley Myers in his water fuel cell.
The issue with other pollutants, secondary pollutants, is real. And there's nothing good about nuclear power plants. Once they unload, it's very bad. I mean, so I guess I don't know if that answers your question, but you know, those are you have the primary pollution, which is the heavy stuff, the cesium, the strontium, uranium, you know, the secondary pollution is just as bad also. But it's like if you get hit in the head with a hammer on this side and a sink on this side, neither one is good.
Yep. We appreciate that. Patrice in Ohio, you're on with Professor James McCanny. Go ahead.
Good morning. Yeah, no one ever said that these psychopaths are smart. But we definitely know they're evil. And this is just an example of how they so want to control the world, even at the expense of killing their own and everyone else.
Well, the thing is, they're all going to succumb to the same thing, right, James?
Well, of course, yeah. It's weird because they gain their power from having a lot of people who are worker bees. You know, and most people are happy being a worker bee. They just want to be with their family and kids, and, you know, they're happy with what they got. They don't need yachts in the, you know, in the Baltic Sea or whatever. To kill off the world population is just bizarre, you know, and it goes back to, like a James Bond movie, are all based on the same thing. And it's funny that when you look at these people, you know, the Soroses and the Zuckerbergs, and they kind of look like those characters in the James Bond movie, don't they?
They kind of do. Yeah, they're up to no good. And this World Economic Forum in Davos has never helped one bit with it. Tim in Michigan, you're on with Professor James McCanny. Go ahead.
Palisades Nuclear Plant was one of the oldest operating plants sitting on Lake Michigan. Mm. They store their fuel in a cask on the beach. And when they did it, they told us that a 730 plane could fly into it. A few years later, they discovered that seagull poop was deteriorating the cement, and they had to spend over $1 million and just to try to keep that. My whole point is that old plant's sitting on one-third of the world's fresh water. And one other thing that I heard about Fukushima was the radiation that's going on the ground through the air, raining down from the trees when it rains, that sometime down the road we will not be able to make ice because of the radiation in the water.
I'll tell you what I have heard is that two-thirds of the American water supplies have had uranium detected and the other strontium, cesium, et cetera, in the water supply. So the Fukushima, I mean, where else did it come from? It's from Fukushima. We're right in the wind path, and that's been coming here for a long time, you know, since when I was at 2012, I can't remember.
311.
So the United States water supplies are polluted with uranium.
This is some pretty scary stuff.
In the water industry, it's amazing. I just am in shock. I used to do studies for people to tell them what was in the water because these government databases exist and you can go in based on zip codes and et cetera. But I stopped doing it. I said, the water's bad every place. You know,
and how do you filter that stuff out? I mean, it's like I want to take my radiation, my Geiger counter, and hold it up to my tank of water to
before
see whether
you take a drink of water, and put counter on it.
What does this come to? Now the thing is you have these water filtration systems, and you know they filter out quite a bit of the. And mine hooked up to a well, and my well is 440 feet deep, but the well is being fed by the current, you know, deluge of rain we're getting down here in Texas now in the hill country. So I got to wonder if it's all polluted with uranium and everything else. By the time it gets through the system and through the water sterilization and the reverse osmosis where we're drinking it from, I have multiple filters going on in this house. Do we really get rid of all of it?
Probably pretty much. And filtration is always a percentage. It's never 100%, but to get it down there, that's the issue, the exposure level. That's what it's all about, because once that gets in your system, it stays there. You accumulate it just like a plant does, you know, and that's why the food chain, for example, the bigger fish have more mercury in them because they are accumulating it from the food chain. So it's the same way with people. When we eat plants, every time you eat something, that's your all of the pollutants that are in all that stuff go into you, and it's concentrated. So that's why people, you know, in the U.S., the cancer rate is going through the ceiling because of the amount of pollution in the air and the water and the food, and it's coming at you from all directions.
Okay, now, so you have the water filters, which I have, and I swear by them, they're working. And so I figured that you were talking to me off mic about 55,000 gallons of usage. And see, with well water, it's very difficult to regulate. You can only estimate by what you previously used in other circumstances. And if you're using 5,000 gallons of water a month, that means in 11 months you've used 55,000 gallons. So if you change these filters out once a year, you're probably going to be okay.
Right.
At the same time, you're changing out the UV filter as well in the singular tube.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, we're talking about the MR5 whole house water filter.
Exactly.
A unique product. And, yeah, about every year for the average family, change out the filter, change out the bulb in the UV system. And you were asking also, because you have a well, about the it's called a Big Blue. It's the sediment filter. We've got those in stock now.
And okay, good.
So, but there's a unique product. I've been in this business for 22 years now, and there's nothing like this on the market.
No, I haven't seen anything. And I'll tell you what, like I said, it gets rid of a lot of the sulfur smell from the water, because in certain parts of the country, you are going to have sulfur water. There's just no getting around it. It is a gas, and it does dissipate, but it's just annoying when you turn on the shower. And this is the thing about whole house water filtration, folks, is you may be drinking filtered water, but then you get in the shower and turn it on and you're getting bombarded and your skin is soaking up all this toxic garbage and it's not filtered. And that's one of the reasons why I recommend getting it. As a matter of fact, James, you're offering a 30% discount coupon code. if you use the word power, P-O-W-E-R, minimum order $300 until next Sunday on your webpage at jmccwaterfilters.com. We have to mention that because I swear by what I've installed. I had a regular plumber hook it up. He had to follow the directions. We had a couple little glitches, but we got it all worked out, and it's working fine. It's not leaking. Everything does what it's supposed to do and what James says it is doing. I want to take a little bit of time now to talk about the book with the remaining time we have left here. The name of the book is The Real History of Man, Earth, Myths, Magic, and Mayhem. And what prompted you to write it is because of all this false science that's been preached to us over the ages?
Yeah, right now there's a massive, massive disinformation campaign that's raging. And it's here's what's going on. There are professional astronomers. There's paid government scientists. There are individuals who are claiming that the Earth had some kind of major event 12,000 years ago in this, what is known as the Younger Dryas period. And that they're throwing everything in the kitchen sink in terms of disasters, woolly mammoths dying off, mass extinctions, cities going extinct around the world, etc. And they're putting us all in this one time frame, 12,000 years ago, and they're saying that a comet hit Earth and caused this. Well, the problem is they can't find the crater that supposedly caused this because it's only 12,000 years ago. This is a worldwide event that they're claiming, and they're claiming that this comet, well, because they can't find the crater, they say, well, it hit the North Pole. Okay, but it caused a pole shift. And they say that the impact created diamonds. Nobody's ever showed how a piece of rock hitting an ice cap creates diamonds. And so anyway, the reason I wrote this book is to try and fend off this tremendous disinformation campaign that's really gained a life of its own. And so the name of the book is it's on my webpage. By the way, it's available on my other webpage, jmccsci.com. It's available for $19.95. But if you buy one of the water filter systems, anything in using the coupon code POWER, we'll send you the book free. But that was in fact, this book has really been sitting on my shelf for a long time. And finally, this huge, massive disinformation campaign erupted. There are people going around selling books. I won't mention names. They're going on tours. They're having conferences based on this. And let me just tell you one of the claims that they're making. There's a city called Göbekli Tepe. It's in Turkey. It's been known about for a long time. And there's no trace of any human remains at all. It's completely covered up, as are cities, for example, in Peru. You go down the coastline of Peru. And there are cities that they estimate 40 million people live there. There's not a potsherd. There's nothing. There's no trace of human civilization. It's just everything is gone. So basically what happened is the ocean, a big tsunami rolled in, washed it all clean, and then for some reason enough dirt came and covered it all up, so they had to excavate this place, and the same with Göbekli Tepe. But what they're claiming is that the people lived there, millions of people, removed all traces of human habitation, then covered the city themselves with dirt.
I'm not buying it. I don't think you were either. That's why you wrote the book. Bob in Missouri, you've got about 1 minute. Go for it.
The polar reversal, that's an old Edgar Cayce theory. I don't know if you're familiar with Edgar Cayce.
Oh, yeah.
He was a big seer, prophet for the United States. He's the one that talked about pole reversal. They're just reading that. By the way, main thing I want to know is about the – are you familiar with him?
Yeah, but go ahead. You're with the
okay.
question.
Okay, anyway, that turned out to be wrong what he said. Anyway, about the Japanese thing and the radiation, what needs to be done to stop that radiation from coming in the water? How much money would it cost, and why aren't the U.N. – I'm so concerned about all of this. Why aren't they talking about it and doing something about it? What would it take to stop that radiation from pouring out of that nuclear reactor?
Okay, let's put that, put the blame where it belongs. Obama was president when this happened, and he blocked the Norwegian and Northern European companies that could have gone in there initially and cleaned it up, and they would have been able to deal with this. There are companies in the United States that deal with nuclear disasters also. Obama blocked them. And don't ask me. That's what happened.
Wow. So there you have it, folks. We wish we had more time to talk about it, but we're out of time for today. Professor James McCanney, thanks so much for joining us. The links to his websites will be on your email blast you're going to be getting. Get your whole house water filtration system installed now. Stay healthy. Until tomorrow, Dave Krieger. God bless you. God bless the United States of America. What's left of it. See you tomorrow.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall here to tell you about a North American urban spice product called Chaga Max. This product is considered SOD, or superoxide dismutase. This is an enzyme found in all living cells. SOD helps break down potentially harmful oxygen molecules in cells. Chaga Max is fortified with the powers of wild oregano and wild birch bark. Get your Chaga Max by calling 877-817-9829 or go to thepowermall.com. Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita Silver Lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products. And he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs. And my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.